This morning, in our responsive reading of God's Word, we read from Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. And so if you desire to follow along and to be instructed from God's Word, please get a Bible and join us. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Notice the first two words right off the bat, my son. Notice that term of endearment. This is a loving, concerned father for a son. But not simply his son. Drop down to verse 7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. So Solomon here, it would seem that the bulk of his pleading is being done to his son. You have the oft-repeated two words, my son, my son. Then there are times, like in verse 7, for instance, the word, ye children, are sprinkled into the text. So it seems that Solomon is, in a broad stroke, instructing his children in the ways of the world. Things to do, things to avoid. But it also seems that he's directing the teaching like a arrow in a bow being fired at a target. The father seems to be applying the full force of his teaching to his oldest son, probably, who's going to be the next king. And then if this is true, then we're talking about Rehoboam, who would follow King Solomon when Solomon died. Okay? Notice, attend unto my wisdom, bow thou thine ear to my my understanding. And notice verse 2. That thou mayest regard discretion, and thy lips may keep knowledge. Verse 2 seems to be the goal. That seems to be the mark. That's the target of the book of Proverbs, specifically, as well as the entire Bible, generally speaking. That's the target. That's the goal. That we might gain discretion, or to be a discerning people. And one of the disciplines that is extremely absent, not only amongst the American population in general, but more specifically from those who call themselves Christians, those who claim to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, those who give at least lip service to the Bible, they are the most non-discernible people on the face of the earth. They will believe anything that comes down the highway, any kind of prosperity preacher, something new, something novel. Some person dies, apparently, and goes to heaven, spends a few hours with Jesus, and then this person comes back to life. Everybody flocks to them like it's something new and novel, something that we need to hear. And there's so much deception going on in the American churches today. So much deception, especially when it comes to their political views. How can anyone claim to be a Christian and be pro-choice? How can anyone claim to be a Christian and accept lesbianism, homosexuality, transgenderism, and the idea that a guy can give birth to a baby now? You know, you got 57 varieties of gender identity. How can anyone claim to be a Christian and yet advocate all this trash that the Bible addresses? No discernment at all in most Christians and from most pulpits today. Then verses 3 onward, Solomon here begins to home in on one pitfall that is found in everyday living. The lips of a strange woman. The harlot. The prostitute. That would be the worst case scenario. Or the housewife who apparently is seeking a little fling, a little bit of juice to her romance, a little bit of spark to her love. And so it can either be a typical housewife upstanding in her community, never hurts a bug, helps women cross the street, or we're talking about the prostitute who sells her body for hire. It can be on either part of that spectrum. The lips of a strange woman drops as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. You can also say that most politicians today who want your vote, their mouth is also smoother than oil. Because sometimes we fall for their promises and we give them our vote, and when they're in office, they forget who put them there. But nonetheless, here's this woman of the night, or maybe simply some lonely housewife who's not getting enough attention. So she begins to seek greener pastures elsewhere. Her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. So notice, she's unstable, that thou cannot know them. So this is not a woman who's grounded, whether it's the housewife wanting a little bit of extra romance, or whether it's the woman who sells her body for hire. She's unstable. She's not grounded. She doesn't know what she believes. All she wants is feeling, and what she wants is her definition of what love is. And in most cases, that version of love is simply abuse from a man. Simply to be abused, and to be used, and then to be discarded. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Here Solomon says, don't even, you know, besides not meeting her at the local watering hole, at the local club, or the local nightclub, or the local barroom, or the local pool hall, you don't even step foot in her house. Don't even get on her property. And here's the reason why. Lest thou give thy honor unto others in thy years unto the cruel. Now watch this. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. What happens to the woman of the night? You render, or she tells you how much for her services. So you begin to liquidate your cash in order to have a little bit of fun. She'll entertain you, she'll make you feel important, she'll give you a little buzz. You got a little bit of wine, women, and song. And then what happens? All of your money, all of your wealth, all of your energy that should be poured into a man's home and for his family gets translated into trinkets and jewelry and all kinds of stuff that the harlot will begin to wear. And so when she goes out seeking other men, and those other men come into her home, what are they going to find in those homes, in that house of hers? Trophies of prior conquests. That's what that's talking about. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. So you give her a bunch of money, and she buys a 52-inch flat-screen TV, and then she dumps you, and then she goes brings another guy to her home. He's going to watch his favorite football team on the TV that you bought. That's what Solomon here is addressing in verse 10. If you're going to be so foolish to give your wealth and your time and your energy to this woman, guess what's going to happen in time? She's going to replace you with somebody else. And that somebody else is going to come into her home and reap the benefits of what you left behind. And that's the warning here. Gentlemen, ladies, that's the warning. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Well, what does that mean? Well, today, one modern-day application could be syphilis, gonorrhea, AIDS, herpes, A, B, and C, etc. All kinds of sexually communicated diseases. Your body will eventually be consumed. Well, that basically, I think, addresses the physical. Thy flesh and thy body. So we're talking about your body are going to be consumed. Not only consumed of its energy and its stamina and being abused and used. The very concept of contracting an illness that would eventually kill you is also on the table. And say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? Now, notice verse 12 and 13 and 14 is the remorse that will come after the fact. And here Solomon here is saying, son, you don't want to hit verses 12 to 14. So therefore, I'm telling you in verse what? 8, don't even go in her front door. Stay away from her property. Don't even enter beyond her picket fence. Stay outside the house. He says, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. So there's the song of regret, the song of remorse. That's the end of the road with the woman with lips of oil, words of oil, smoother than oil. And so, beloved, here we find a son, a father. Now, one last observation. You ever wonder when Solomon wrote this? Did he write it before he had 1,000 wives and concubines? Or was he writing this after the fact and had buyer's remorse as well? Kind of wonder. What time frame did Solomon pen these? Because if he wrote it as a very young man beginning his reign, which I don't think, he didn't have children that would be old enough to be the king or old enough to commit such sins. I don't think Solomon wrote this at the beginning of his reign. Because if he did, he was quite foolish because he violated his own instruction to his kids. But if he wrote this after the fact, this is a man who's been around the block more than once and he has something to say. Because he had buyer's remorse in the end. Well, may God choose to bless his word.